Welcome to the Rant of a Free Trapper. And don't forget our sponsor, Alan, up at Funky Trap Tags and Supply. He'll get everything you need, guys. I promise you that. Now, let me say something about Alan. Alan is a good friend of mine. Alan also has no idea about some of the stuff I'm going to say. So, saying that, don't hold Alan responsible if I say something that makes you mad or uncomfortable or something like that, because he really doesn't have anything to do with it. So what are we going to talk about tonight? We're going to talk about weapons and anti-weapons. What is the weapon of modern America? Racist! He's a racist! That's racist, dude. That's racist when you say that. Weapon. That's what it is. It's a weapon. Where did the weapon come from? Has people thought about this? When I started doing research on this, guys, I found out that a lot of people have been actually thinking about this, so this is not exactly original to me. It gave me a bunch of information that I could pull from, and it basically started when I was listening to one of the history podcasts talking about the Romans, Caesar, against the Germans and Celts. And when they were trying to explain the different areas and the different people, it became clear that during that time that the Celts were considered very different from Caesar and the Romans. But why? They were bigger. They had more muscle. They were more athletic looking. They dyed their hair white with lime. But it wasn't a race. That became very clear throughout this podcast, using all of the historical quotes and everything. It wasn't a race. And that had me thinking, you know, we think today as Italian, Mediterranean, and they weren't considering Germans or Celts a different race, but we would definitely consider that a different race today. So anyway, in my weird, twisted mind that kind of goes in all different directions down all the little rabbit holes that I come across in life, I started doing research. And lo and behold, I found a thing that's called, on some podcasts and on some different blogs and some videos and different things. And the term that's used more than anything is race is a human construction or construct. Construct means it's made by humans. So it's not real. Is that true? So I started doing more research. When you look at biologists that study species, they cannot come up with any genetic differences between races because humans are humans. Then that had me start going down, well, if there's no in science, in biology, if they cannot even tell the difference between races with genetics, then how do we say that people are race? Now, the reason I think this is important is because the weapon of race today, where everybody calls everybody a racist for everything, if that is all a big farce in reality, think about the de-weaponization of that term if you realize there's no such thing as race. Now, I understand today that people consider different races. But, you know, at the same time, years and years ago, we used to think that it was really cool and a scientific thing to bleed people with leeches. We also used to thought the earth was flat. We thought all kind of things, and everybody that thought them, it wasn't true. Just because everybody has a consensus, like 97% of all scientists say that there's global warming, just because there's a consensus, does that mean that it's true? I say no, it is not. It's not even close. A consensus does not mean anything to do with facts. Now, as human beings, are we better off if we follow the consensus of a population or the facts? I think facts are a little bit more important. I will leave this up to you. But during my research, I came across a lot of very interesting things about race. And when you find out about the history about race and races, you will start seeing why it is so decisive today. Because more importantly and more obviously than anything else you'll find in the research is it was from the very beginning from intellectuals that caused almost every single war, caused almost all of our problems in America, do all this crazy stuff because of their theories. They thought this was a good thing to do so they could have dissension among people and have some groups that thought they were better than other groups, when biologically it was not true. Now, I know the first thing that someone that's heard all this, you know, stuff about race before, oh, there's definitely a difference between races. And the first one that always comes up over and over again, well, when you look at medicines are made by race because black people have a higher propensity to have sickle cell anemia. This is true. They do. What is sickle cell anemia? When you look this up, it is an evolutionary adaptation to malaria exposure. So the species of humans, Homo sapiens, that are in areas with malaria, the ones that survive, adapt to the malaria, and that causes an adaptation that makes them more susceptible to sickle cell anemia. Does that mean they're a different race? Not if you got two brain cells. But that's normally where someone goes. And most of the time it's because someone wants to believe there's race. And there's a couple reasons for that. I think that some people believe in race because it gives them an advantage, or it gives them a platform to be a victim, or it gives them all these different reasons that they can claim something from somebody else because they're a race. Or you just have people that think that their race is better than somebody else's. But once we realize, guys, there's no race, how can you be racist? And I think this is the genius of race. The absolute genius of race. Because if you take the false race out of the equation and out of the conversation with people, now you have to start talking about culture and beliefs. That's a lot more uncomfortable for people. So you could say that some people are culturalist. I really don't want a bunch of Muslims around thinking it's okay to slap my wife. Not cool. Not something that I want to be around. I don't want to be around a bunch of a culture that thinks it's okay to gang rape another religion in the name of their religion. Not cool. But that's a cultural difference. You might say religion, but it is definitely a cultural difference. And people don't want to talk about culture. They really don't. Because that's going to make things that a lot of people do that are under the shield of race right now very exposed and very open, and they don't want the conversation to go there. So if you think that there is a race, if you think there is a white race, a black race, an Asian race, a red race, all of that, do you know why you believe that and where it came from? Because it's actually pretty modern. Again, from intellectuals and used by governments to separate people and to cause dissension within the population, so if everybody's fighting, they never look at who's in charge. So, what do you believe? Now, I'm gonna go through some rapid fire stuff here, and I'm gonna start why I think race, because it's not real, but can cause so many problems we need to think about. Think about slavery. That's an easy one. But let's think about something in modern times. This is coming from an NPR article. I'm writing this because a reader, Cindy, called my attention to an NPR article describing how Brazil is now using skin color to determine who fits into various categories subject to affirmative action boost. Brazil has racial tribunals to place people in racial groups, and the traits used can include more than just skin color. Now, when you follow this article down, it's talking about a guy that looks white in Brazil, and he's got a government job, and that makes the other people that are only worried about race very upset. So they started a Facebook campaign against a white guy in the Brazilian government because he says he's Afro-Brazilian, whatever that is. In order to prove he was Afro-Brazilian, he gives his name, lawyers needed to find criteria, went to 7 dermatologists to use something called Fitzpatrick scale to grade the skin tone from 1 to 7, from whitest to darkest. The lattice doctor even had a special machine. Apparently on my face, I'm a type 4. This is the guy that is a government employee, which would put me about like Jennifer Lopez. A few weeks ago, these race tribunals, and this is just in the last year, guys. A few weeks ago, these race tribunals were made mandatory for all government jobs. Race is not biological. You cannot find a biologist. See, that's not right. I'm all tongue twisted. A biologist that can have any evidence at all scientifically that there's any difference between any human being on this planet. But were made mandatory for government jobs. In one state, they even issued guidelines about to measure lip size, hair texture, nose width, and something for his uncomfortable eco's racist philosophies in the 19th century. It is something terrible. I believe this kind of strategy can weaken the support of society with affirmative action policies, which is absolutely true. Now, you may think, oh, there's definitely differences. There's got to be races. I mean, you have white people and you have black people and you have Mexicans and you have Africans and you have people from Asia and all that. Not genetically, you don't. Now, let's look, shall we, at the Caucasian race. Have you ever wondered where the white race came from? Some of this is going to start ringing some bells on you in a little bit, but you probably never thought about it because we're never taught this in our government schools, and we're not supposed to ever think about this because we're taught that race, pretty much in America, is the dividing line between people. But if you take that dividing line away, is there really a difference besides cultural? The Caucasian race is a group of human beings historically regarded as taxon, which depended on the historical race classification used, usually include some of the all ancient and modern populations of Europe, Asia Minor, North Africa, the Horn of Africa, West Asia, and South Asia. Caucasians have been used as an umbrella term for a similar group from these different regions. Now, I want you to think about what that was. Europe, North Africa, and parts of Asia were, at the beginning, considered white. The term Caucasian race was coined by the German philosopher Christopher Miners in his Outline of History of Mankind in 1785, an intellectual. Miner's term was given wider circulation in the 1970s by Johann Friedrich Birnbach, a German professor of medicine, a member of the British Royal Society, who is considered one of the founders and disciplines of anthropology. Miner's acknowledged 2 races. Now, when races started, keep this in mind, if races were races, then it wouldn't change over time. You had the Caucasian, or translated as the beautiful, or the Mongolian, which is translated as the ugly. His Caucasian race encompassed all of the ancient and most modern native populations in Europe, the Aboriginal inhabitants of West Asia, including Hebrews and Arabs. So Arabs originally were considered white. They're not now. Egyptians and neighboring groups, Indians and ancient Gronks, which I don't even know what that is. In his earlier racial writings, Miner put forth that Caucasians were the whitest, most blooming, and most delicate skin. So he's basing completely off the epidermis skin color of a person as a race. Now, if you think about that logically, that's very weird and very stupid. If you're somewhere where it's sunnier, you're going to get darker, especially over generations. If you're somewhere where, like Northern Europe, where it's cloudy and you have long winters, you're going to be more fair-skinned. That makes sense, but does that actually mean a race? Now, this is where this is going to start coming into a little bit better context for everybody. In a series of articles, miners boast about the superiority of Germans among Europeans. Does that sound faintly, just faintly familiar to anybody? A German saying that they are the best race in the world. And this is in the 1700s. And non-German Europeans are dirty whites. Unfavorable comparisons with Germany. Such views were typical of proto-scientific attempts at racial classifications where skin pigmentation was regarded as the main difference between races. Now, there's some other people that went along with this that were Europeans. Now, let's look at a couple other things. The label is stuck to this day according to Blumenbach, went to name four races. Now see, we went from two, now we're going to four. Now is this scientific, or is this just made up as a political and personal idea? Now, even considered physically or morally degenerate forms of God's creation. So you have four other races that are degenerate forms of God's creation. Now I hate to bust everybody's bubble. Jesus was not white. He's from the Middle East. Everybody pretty much came from Africa, it seems like. So everybody started from the same place. Now, having other skin tones is not something that should be considered a degenerative form of God's original creation. How absolutely... what's the right word? Arrogant that someone in Germany thought that they are God's original creation. They're not even from a God's original place of where mankind started from. Now, he categorized Africans, excluding light-skinned North Africans, as Ethiopians or black. So that's where the black first started coming from, was in the late 1700s. Whites is a German that thought that they were the master race. But when we use these terms today, guys, I want you to think about whose hands you're playing into. He divided non-Caucasian Asians into two separate races. Mongolian, which we've heard before, or yellow race of Japan, China, Malaysia. Or the brown race, which included Aboriginal Australians, Pacific Islanders, and he called Native Americans the red race. Now the red race, not to get anybody confused because this is very confusing, also considered all of the Native Americans that were in South America, which will come up here in a minute. The second reason this term has staying power is the new immigrants began to stream into the country, and he's talking about America in the 20th century. Political leaders and scientists supporting a new radical science called eugenics. So the term, when we call each other racist today, is playing into the hands of a white master race German and eugenics, which actually started here in America, where they're looking to have perfect humans, perfect skin tone, and perfect little citizens. Eugenics. So if you weren't perfect, they wanted to abort you or kill you. If you don't know about eugenics, guys, you ought to. Eugenics divided Caucasians into four ranks. So even Caucasians have four different races: Nordic, Alpine, Mediterranean, and Jew. I'm sure you're not be surprised to learn that Nordics were ranked the highest, and the Jews the lowest. Now we're going to go to Latino, because this one is the most confusing race of anybody. Rambart parts out, prior to 1970, Mexicans were almost always coded as white for census purposes. Now, in case you didn't know this, there was no such thing as Latino race until Nixon. This change in the decades since the Hispanic category has been introduced, with Mexicans and other Latino frequently identified non-white. Both are products of the 1976 Congress administration. So our government made up the Hispanic and Latino race out of thin air in 1976. And when you look at the government records, which you can do on the National Census form, all levels of government need information on race, Hispanic origin, and ancestry. Now, they made this up in 1976. To implement and evaluate programs such as equal employment opportunity, civil rights, voting rights, public health act, health care improvement, job partnership training, equal credit opportunity, fair housing act, and redistricting data information for congressmen. Separating people. Now, my question is, when you look, South America is made up of Native Americans. They're Indians. The Spaniards came over in the 1400s. They took over a lot of these civilizations. They started speaking Spanish, Latino, which is even more confusing when you start looking at that, because that's the basis of Latin. Latin comes from Italy. Now, to make this even more confusing of how this crazy race really is, think about in the early 20th century when you look and talk to people in government, Irish and Italians were considered black. So, if you have Irish origin in you today, you are considered black by a race in the early 20th century. Now you're considered white. Italian, I have no idea what you're considered. Is that Latino because it's the original Latin? Is it Middle Eastern? Is it Mediterranean? I have no idea. When you start looking at this, if you think Hispanic is Hispanic and Latino is Latino, Mexican and Patagonia is about as far away as America and Iraq. And people's culture, everything. How in the world is that a race? Now, is Mexican the same as Puerto Rican? Well, obviously you've never been around the two if you think they are. Is Puerto Rican the same as Cuban? No. Jamaicans don't even consider people from Africa black. The race issue is bullcrap. 100%, no biological reason whatsoever. It is bullcrap. It is a way to have people fight with each other. That's all it is. So, can a human being be racist? I think you can be a culturalist. You may not like someone else's culture, but you can't be a race because it's not a real thing. It is not. With any logic or reason, race is a made-up intellectual and government idea. But what's tearing our country apart today? Race. Who's pushing race? Intellectuals at college and government. Imagine that. That came from where? Basically, a white supremacist in Germany before the term was ever even thought of. And we put people in all of these different things. And then we let the people fight over their race. How ignorant of a people are we to allow this to happen? Seriously. How ignorant of a people to allow people to get so fired up on something that's not even real? I don't get it. I really don't. So what do you think about it?